With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Before we get into this week's edition of The Bloom Files, I wanted to squeeze in a couple of quick seconds and talk about our sponsor for this week, Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Now, if you excuse me, I got some case opening to do. Truth is out there. And here, who knows? Either way, we are opening up the Bloom Files here on Post-Show Recaps and X-Files First Watch / Rewatch Podcast. Hello, everybody. Mike Bloom ready to submerge myself into the ice bath that is not one, but two episodes of the X-Files Season 2, Colony and Endgame. I am, of course, joined by my partner on this case as well as my wife, Angela Bloom. Or are you?
I am!
Are you sure?
Yes!
Wait, I'm sure you're you, but is there not like a closet full of clones of you that I'm going to find out about at some point?
No?
I'll take you at face value for right now until I find multiple ones of you wearing many different outfits, like walking in at
so
the same time.
So many different outfits.
I loved it. It was like as someone who enjoyed Orphan Black back in the day.
Oh,
it really
true.
Took me back to Clone Club.
You were a big fan of that show.
So let's get into this week because... We kind of have to start with a bit of a mea culpa.
Oh, yeah, sorry, my fault.
So as we talked at the end of last week's podcast, we said, okay, we're just going to do a one-off about Endgame. And then we watch the first minute of Endgame.
And I was like, oh, wait, this is a two-part episode.
They did like a previously on, basically.
Yeah.
They didn't say previously on, but it's a montage of all these things that I have never seen before in my life.
Yeah, no, I forgot. I mean, honestly, Endgame is the better of the two because it's the culmination of the two-arc episode. But in my mind, I was just like, oh, yeah, Endgame's a great episode. We should watch that. And just totally forgot about Colony.
Yeah, I think Spencer compares it to like if you watched Avengers Endgame, ironically enough, without watching Avengers Infinity War. It's a good episode, but you're going to be incredibly confused.
Yeah, and they started off Endgame with like a really, really fast recap of what happened in the previous
episode.
Incredibly
quickly.
They were like, and then there were clones, and the DNA, and the hybrids, and the da-ba-ba-ba-ba.
It was like I was X, and I was just getting pummeled by this form of Agent Skinner in the way of so much exposition at once. So suffice it to say, I think we watched like 5 minutes of Endgame, and
I kept saying I've got
to watch Colony.
Yeah, I was like, we should go back and watch Colony, and you were like, nope, we told everyone Endgame, we're going to watch Endgame, and I was like, we should watch Colony now.
So, apologies about that.
Sorry.
It's okay, you know. We try to, you know, be as mistake-free as possible, but we are human. We are not alien. We are human at the end of the day. So we're going to talk about Colony and Endgame, a big two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, Angela, Season 2 has continued to show how much I think it subverts my expectations of the X-Files because we dealt with a really emotional arc in last week. And this week... This honestly felt more to me like an action thriller.
Yeah, it was like Mission Impossible.
Yeah, than it did science fiction proper.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty true to the series as a whole, that it does flip-flop a bit. It goes from sort of action thriller adventure to more of an emotional story to, you know, funny to just like kooky. And I think it's, you know, it's good that it has those levels. I also think that this sort of vibe to the series is not my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer like the more fun, kooky, like ones that have kind of heart to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's enjoyable and it gives you a lot of the mythos of the X-Files. So
yeah, I can imagine that the whole colonization idea, while it was just sort of thrown out by not Samantha Mulder in Endgame, I'm assuming that's going to bear a lot more fruit.
Yeah.
Later on.
And the whole, you know, we have been abducting people to, you know, splice their DNA with
that
aliens.
Rears its ugly head again.
Yeah. And then all of the bounty hunter stuff. I mean, that's like new, like that guy is an alien.
I love this idea that I feel like, and I guess it's the benefit of the format that we're doing this, that I get introduced to like all of these baddies who are just going to keep, it's almost like the Rogues Gallery of the X-Files, right? Because you have this alien bounty hunter. We talked about Krycek.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that crew cut guy who killed Deep
Throat.
Who killed Deep Throat 1.0, exactly. So I do love this idea of being introduced to, I wouldn't say the big bads, because I guess the big bads are aliens at large, but like definitely some of the nemesis.
Not even, though. I feel like the big bads are like the government.
Yeah, that's true to a certain extent. At least not this episode.
We didn't really focus on this episode.
More so the aliens disguising themselves as government operatives are the big bad in this episode.
Yes, and then the bounty hunter who's just like crazy.
Well, let's start with Colony here, and we'll do a sizable job of, I think, recapping Colony as well for those that were not privy to the announcement that we made that we'd be covering this as well. But I mean, even watching Colony, this one also drops
super confusing
in the middle of stuff, right? It's in media res. It's a flash forward really to the end of Endgame, where Mulder is, you know, flatlining. His face looks super puffy once again, like he had been exposed to the green blood like he did in the season one finale. And so while Mulder is giving this narration about Samantha's abduction and how that was the linchpin that really guided his influences and his beliefs, he's being taken to some sort of ER/lab, and Scully comes in basically saying,
it's like a military hospital.
Yeah, but Scully's basically yelling at the doctor saying, no, you have to keep him cold. And then he flatlines. And so the first thing that I thought was Mulder's a reptile, that he is cold blooded or he's some.
That's where you went?
I mean, I was thinking lizard person, you know?
Oh,
I see. They have to stay in the cold. That's where they're most hospitable.
No. Mm-mm.
I'm assuming there are going to be like lizard people
the
show.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
There's a whole episode about it.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised there's only one episode about it.
There's probably multiple.
But we go back in time here, because that's going to be a nice little nugget.
2 weeks earlier.
Yeah, basically, it's like a spoonful of dessert before you dig into the meal proper.
Yeah.
But we go back to a boat that is in the middle of the Beaufort Sea, I think is the name of it. It's somewhere like the Alaska Arctic. It's cold.
Yes, it's in the cold ocean.
The cold ocean. And basically, they see like a light just hovering over the cold ocean.
Very spoopy.
And then it crashes.
Yes.
And the story that is being put forward is that, okay, this aircraft was, I guess, a Russian plane that had somehow crashed, but there was one guy aboard and we rescued him.
Always the Russians.
And the news is playing at what we find out later is an abortion clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this bald doctor who's staring at it. And then just immediately takes off.
He's like, ruh-roh.
Yeah, he says, oh, something's wrong here. And we'll find out much later, obviously, why that face is not so good to him. But apparently it's too late.
Yeah, no, he's already there, which is wild. Like, how'd he get there?
Yeah, and so we're introduced almost immediately to the aforementioned alien bounty hunter, which is so evocative of the Terminator to me.
Now, did you do any research on this actor?
I did a little bit because I believe this is a Star Trek regular.
He was on Charmed. He was on like all of the 90s TV shows.
Yeah, I seem to recall particularly, I think he played like a few roles in Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense because I feel like the reason why he was cast is because he had like a very distinctive face.
Yeah, his face is super distinctive and I imagine that it would work really well with the like Star Trek vibe of an alien for sure.
Yeah, because he is one. And he is also going to pull a little bit. I know I said Terminator, but he reminds me a bit of Anton Chigurh from There Will Be Blood because he has a weapon that he's brandishing throughout.
Well, you keep saying
episodes.
Terminator, but he was in Terminator apparently.
He was?
Yeah, apparently he and Bill Paxton had minor roles as punk thugs. Thanks, Wiki.
So was he one of those biker guys that the Terminator asked for his clothes?
I've seen Terminator maybe once in my life, so I don't know.
Terminator 1 or Terminator 2?
I've seen none of them. I don't remember.
What?
I don't understand.
You just went back on it.
I remember seeing a Terminator when I was younger, but I couldn't tell you what it was.
So basically, the alien bounty hunter is going to be wielding a very simple weapon. It looks like, I think they refer to it as an ice pick behind the scenes, but it's basically like a handle with a little pole.
It's like a handle with like a knitting needle on it.
It's like a screwdriver.
No, it's like a handle with like a knitting needle. It has a pointy end.
Yeah, like a screwdriver.
Oh my God.
Like a nice Phillips head screwdriver. But he pokes the doctor and it's revealed that, okay, maybe the doctor had a reason to run because he's got green blood.
He's got green blood. And he also pokes him directly in the back of the neck, which is like the only place apparently these guys can be pokied.
Or gumbied. We did get something from Spencer about, you know, the difference with the green blood, because we experienced the green blood back with Dr. Sicare and all the fish tank people in the Erlenmeyer flask. He theorizes that, like, those people, the first sort of genetically engineered human-alien hybrids, were sort of version 1.0.
Yes.
And then these are sort of version 2.0. That's why there are similar reactions to the blood, right?
But this
one is much more toxic and deadly. This is like your, and also these ones turn to goo when they're not immersed in cold.
Yeah. And so all of these like colonist aliens are shapeshifters as well. So there's like this ability for him to like shift into whoever he wants to be. So there's a confusion as to the clones and then the bounty hunter and if they're one and the same. And I think they are sort of similar. But
I think it's a matter of, as we'll find out later, that like these, it's actually very similar.
There's more than one alien bounty hunter. Let's just put it that way. He's not the only one.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen the Mandalorian. We know there are many bounty hunters. I think it's comparable to the Erlenmeyer flask though, where again, it's these aliens sort of going rogue from the original project, doing human alien hybrids, and then sort of like the big heads of whatever colony this is said, that's a no-no. We're going to send someone to eradicate you.
Yeah, exactly. They were like, this was not in the plans. So this guy dies and we flash forward to Mulder in his office looking at his obituary.
Yeah. And one of many obituaries, because basically Mulder and Scully realize that there are three doctors who happen to all work in abortion clinics, all died in massive fires, and all look exactly the same.
Yeah. And I think they mentioned it later that they work at the abortion clinics because of the stem cells.
Yeah. Because they need access to fetal tissue. Though I will say.
They didn't say stem cells. They said we need access to fetal tissue. Yikes.
Yeah. It's not exactly the most humane way of speaking about it. I will say the use of the abortion clinic, I found strangely, I think, liberal.
Yeah. They didn't even mention it.
For the use in like 1994, I thought you could absolutely do like a whole different thing about like.
No, they were just like, they casually work in abortion clinics. Yeah,
especially for the early 90s.
Props to them.
That felt unusual for ahead of the time, perhaps. But basically, you know, they're sort of working their way across the East Coast. The killings are at least. They're essentially trying to find who is the next doctor. It's tough to do in an age where there's no reverse image search on Google.
Well, so what they did find was that a pro-life priest had interviewed one of the doctors in Syracuse, and that's how they found it. So I guess they do sort of dive into like pro-life.
I do like the sassy person when they, Mulder and Scully, are sort of like accessing, because there's a tip line, right, in that newspaper article about, if you've seen call the tip line, and they say like, oh yeah, how would you access the voicemail? And she says, well, you would start by paying the bill. FBI lady.
Yeah, she was just like, you can just pay the bill.
They can arrest you for that.
Yeah,
for obstruction of justice.
I thought she was pretty sassy, but you know what? She's just doing her job.
Yeah, but suffice it to say, they are too late. The doctor, well, they don't realize that, but basically they're directed to Syracuse. Shout out to Josh Wigler and Emily Fox.
Yes.
But luckily, I guess for them, they were not involved in this. The doctor in Syracuse has been stabbed. The bounty hunter has caught on.
But they bring with them Barrett, who is a FBI agent in the area.
Right. So they basically call the
field. The local
FBI in Syracuse and say, hey, can you check in on this? He does. It does not go well.
Poor Barrett.
Yeah, he gets killed off screen by the bounty hunter when he'll become actually a big key part of Scully's discovery later on. But at the moment, we start to really see his shape-shifting abilities when, quote unquote, Barrett says, oh, Mulder, Scully, so great to meet you in person. Nothing happened. You can go home. It's okay. And then I would say a pretty good effect for the early 90s transforms into the bounty hunter when it turns out that like there's this like, oh, like little Barrett cuddled up in the trunk in his tiny whiteies.
Yeah, he does look really weird in the trunk. I will say that.
Yeah, it looked like he's napping.
Yeah, but He's dead.
So Skinner, I mean, Skinner's going to find that out later on. Suffice it to say, he is not happy.
Yeah, no. So Skinner calls into his office and he's like, we have a dead FBI agent.
You're grounded, mister.
Yeah, like, this case is closed. Enough. Be done now.
No TV, but you know what? As much email as you want to. There was so much email talk in these two episodes.
Yeah, and then the part where Mulder goes missing later and Scully, like, gets the email and, like, reads it like it's, like, a diary.
Yeah, well, I think something that I hadn't seen up to this point is Scully's going to call Mulder and she has her fun, you know, Harry Potter glasses on.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize she has, like, a big-ass computer in, I think she's in her home.
Yeah, she has, like, a desktop in her home.
Yeah, I think we've only seen that from Mulder's perspective, yes. You know, when they were trying the passwords and everything. I didn't know that was
in his office.
Yeah, I didn't think Scully had a home computer as well.
Well, she has to do a lot of field notes.
She has to do
autopsy reports.
She has to do her carry from Sex and the City.
Loved it.
And I began to realize maybe I'm the X in the X-Files.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's also a really fun other 90s call out of Scully saying, I'm sending you a digitally scanned photograph that I found.
You loved that. You were like, that's hilarious.
Well, at the time, it's like, wow, I can't believe photos can exist on computers.
Yeah,
now.
No, it is true. It's true.
Yeah, but they find out that they're actually, they don't even need to go up to Syracuse because there was a doctor in their own backyard.
Yeah, so they find this other guy and he, I guess they have to go, like, question him.
Yeah, but also they sort of get a visit here from Agent Chapel, I think his
yes.
name is. So he's another FBI agent and he tries to give his own version. And we know that this is the ABA.
So no, he's the CIA officer.
Oh, CIA. Okay.
Yes.
CIA, FBI. So many acronyms.
Yeah. So he tells them he's CIA and that these doctors are clones from a Soviet genetics program. Again, the Russians.
Yeah. And that they were the Russians created these people to station them at abortion clinics so that at a signal from the Russians,
yes.
they would sabotage the country's immune system, which, timely.
Yeah, wild. But I also think it's, like, very funny that up until this point we're not even mentioning the aliens, and then all of a sudden they come in with this, like, this is a red herring! Well, like, it's just, like, dangling in front of you.
That being said, though, given what the X-Files is and how sometimes they do these
images, yeah.
I mean, even in the pilot when Mulder's like, oh yeah, and then this happened and then this happened, like, I was totally fine with taking this at face value about Project
But there,
Gregor.
Didn't you think that, like, this guy was fishy, though? Like, you didn't think for a minute that he was, like, a little bit weird?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the point of this episode, right, is when you have a shapeshifter, that's, again, going back to Star Trek Deep Space Nine, that's the whole onus of the Dominion, is when you have a shapeshifter in your midst, who can you truly trust? Which is also, I think, a big theme of the X-Files.
Everyone's gonna get that reference.
Yeah, exactly. So apparently the Gregors are in trouble because the bounty hunter is a Russian spy sent to put the kibitz on the project.
Yeah.
It's like, you might get found out. And so the bounty hunter is saying,
very elaborate.
And so apparently the Gregors were the ones that had contacted the X-Files.
Because mm-hmm.
they said, oh, I heard you're looking into this. Help!
Help us, please!
And all of our festive outfits.
Yeah, so at the same time, I think that Scully's performing an autopsy.
That's going to be later on near the end of this, because first we have to go visit the local Gregor.
Yes. Dickens.
Yeah, your local Gregor, where he is with this curly-haired woman who we're not going to see later on, but she's going to become real pertinent very soon.
Yeah.
But basically, they show up with Chapel. Dickens takes one look at Chapel and gets the Dickens out of there.
He does.
Jumps out the window.
How did he know, though?
Yeah, I guess maybe he could
sense it.
Yeah, like, that's a good call. Maybe, and because,
or maybe he's used that form before.
Do you think, like, aliens get a sense when they're around other aliens?
Like pheromones?
Yeah, or like just like a spidey sense or something.
I don't know.
Like, he just gets a sense that something's off. Maybe there's a giveaway that the shapeshifter has that humans don't know about.
I couldn't speak to that because I'm human, 100%.
Well, we get a chase sequence where Mulder straight up gets hit by a car.
He does. He gets hit by a car and he
like,
goes,
I'm fine.
He goes, I've got the wind knocked out of me.
No, you probably got several bones knocked yeah. out of you if you had gotten actually
He's like,
hit by
I'm
a car.
Good. Just got the wind knocked out of me.
And he says, like, oh, well, you know, if Skinner ass, I got hit by a car. Don't laugh that off, sir.
I mean, he did, though. He got hit by a car.
Yeah, he got hit by a car. But, you know, everything's fine, I suppose. But basically, Dickens got away from Mulder and Scully. We'll find out later that Chapel is going to sort of dispose about him.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so Scully is now becoming really skeptical. Especially like she's seen the green goo.
She's like, what's going on? This is suspicious.
She's basically saying, Mulder, I don't think we should fully push all of our chips into the Agent Chapel side of the table here. And Mulder's saying like, oh no, you're just being paranoid.
Which is again, wild.
A very fun reversal of roles from Mulder. Pot, kettle.
So she does an autopsy on Beckett.
Beckett.
And finds that his blood is coagulated.
It's like jelly. And I'm sure everyone would want to have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich after that comparison.
Yes, exactly. Disgusting. But yeah, so I guess it's like he has a really high red blood cell count and his blood is all goopy.
Yeah, coagulated, I think, is the way that they
put
that. Did you or did I?
I literally just said his blood was coagulated.
Oh my God, my mind's been messed with.
Oh no.
Your powers, your pheromones. But
that's true.
Maybe it's because I was called away mentally for a hot second, much like Mulder is due to a quote unquote family emergency.
Yeah, like a real one though.
What an emergency it is.
Yeah, it's weird that he wouldn't say it over the phone though.
More so like a family miracle.
Yeah, family miracle. And surprise, surprise.
Let's talk about Mulder's parents here, Mr. and Mrs. Mulder. Do you remember if we meet them in a previous episode, or is this
I don't remember.
The first debut of them?
I think perhaps we meet his mother in a previous episode.
She's kind of
She's a big character in the X-Files, so get used to seeing her.
It's interesting though, because I feel like she's relatively, you know, on the DL in
these episodes. On the DL in these two episodes, but her presence looms large because you can tell that there's a bit of bad blood between Mulder and Daddy.
Bad coagulated blood. I mean, I'll say it flat out. Mulder's dad is a jerk.
Yeah, and there are a few episodes actually of the X-Files where they do, like the one with the cigarette smoking man where we go into the past and you learn all about him. There's one where it focuses on Bill.
That's his name, Bill.
His name is Bill Mulder.
Bill Mulder.
But he named his son Fox.
Yeah, and I do like the fact that despite Mulder's insistence, his parents do indeed call him Fox.
Yeah, and he's part of something you'll find out about, like, and it's like all tied into the conspiracies and everything like that. And it's all, you know, he's not just his dad, but
his dad also has like a big Jay Leno chin. I noticed that when we saw him in profile when they're out on the porch.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an episode that is full of people with distinct faces, I would say.
Yeah, and I think also, like, he has a lot of secrets that you'll find out about to an extent, but I think that there's obviously some sort of, you know, on top of the fact that Bill Mulder is a bit suspicious, he obviously wasn't, like, the best father to Foxy.
I will say, oh, that's a lovely
Foxy
nickname.
Cleopatra.
I will say, oh, God, thank you for the Austin Powers 3
You're
reference.
You're welcome.
I'm sure you've seen that more than the Terminator.
Yeah.
I will say, Bill Mulder sounds like the name of an FBI agent more than Fox Mulder does, actually. Mulder sounds more like a spy, and Bill Mulder more sounds like an FBI agent.
Yeah, I actually don't remember, but is he a former FBI, maybe? He's something. He's like some government guy.
Well, he's definitely irascible, but, I mean, he's shell-shocked at the moment because Samantha is back.
She's back.
She's still bringing up Stratego.
As like a little mousy, like skinny lady.
Yeah, like little precocious. Seems like a... You know, even though she and Mulder had gotten into an argument during her abduction, it's water under the bridge, as she will soon be under
a
bridge.
Well, yeah, so her story is that she was abducted and brought back, but she didn't remember anything.
Right, until she underwent hypnotherapy. I also liked how she was talking about how initially, what's the term? She was diagnosed with free-floating anxiety.
Yes.
That is the oddest
Is that what
term.
I have?
Yeah, I was going to say, do we just all suffer from...
Is that the human condition?
As opposed to what, like tied down anxiety, anchored anxiety?
Well, there are different types of anxiety. You know this. I have precipitatory anxiety.
I think you might have precipitatory anxiety.
I think I do too.
I don't like participating in things.
No, it's where you are like in anticipatory.
We looked at each other and had the exact same revelation at the same time.
Yeah, where you like have anxiety about like things to come.
Right, but how free floating is that in your opinion? Is it in the fish tank? Is it sunk at the bottom?
I'm always sunk at the bottom
of
the fish
how
tank.
How buoyant is your anxiety? Is a good question.
Not
to ask.
Buoyant. It's like a big old brick.
It's a dense brick at the bottom of the aquarium.
But yeah, so that was a weird phrase.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Speaking of aquarium, let's go to Scully's side of things, because while Mulder's been called away and he just sort of up and leaves without telling
Scully. Sorry, I just did a little research. Bill Mulder is part of the State Department.
Okay, so again, it's all these like various branches of the government tree.
Yeah, he began working in government and ended up in the State Department.
So Scully has now found an address that was on the handbag of Dickens, and she decides to do a little bit of her own investigation, and here she finds a lab with, you know, a bunch of
yeah, this really grossed
babies.
Me out. This really, like, gave me, like, the heebie-jeebies.
Especially the image of when the ABH steps on one.
Yeah,
and, like,
oh, God, that really made me upset.
Out.
Also, like, they're little baby aliens.
Little baby alien humans.
Yeah, they're little babies.
So Samantha tells Mulder the, I don't even say capital T truth. That's still, it's still lowercase T because
they're aliens.
She hasn't herself admitted her role in this, but she is the daughter of one of the Gregors. She was the daughter of Dickens.
Adopted daughter.
Yeah, and basically says that, like, they're aliens, and this is an alien bounty hunter that has been sent to kill them. And Mulder's like, oh, crap, I shouldn't have trusted Chapel.
Yeah, exactly. And then he's like, gotta call Scully. Hang on.
Yeah. Samantha also says, and maybe this again speaks towards, like, the alien, you know, respect alien thing, that the bounty hunter is a shapeshifter, but she can recognize him.
Yes. And so, I mean, it all sounds, like, very suspicious. I think that's meant to be the case where you kind of are like, why is Mulder, like, just believing this at face value? And then you come to realize it's because she said she was Samantha, and he's always blinded when Samantha's involved.
Yeah, that's the thing as well, is that I think what we're really going to get out of Mulder in these two episodes is how, for him, it's sort of like the needs of the one outweigh the needs of the many, that he is going to relentlessly pursue finding out the truth about this Samantha stuff and getting her back, even when it's putting so much at risk.
Yeah, for sure.
So Scully is trying to be as DL as possible.
Yes, this is like covert Scully, undercover Scully with a hoodie.
Yeah, with a hoodie on her local bus with, like, a big-ass chunky phone.
Yeah, she basically... So Samantha says that the bounty hunter is going to come after her after he's killed all the clones. Mm-hmm. And Scully's like, yeah, I'm definitely in trouble. I need to go hide.
Right, because she felt like she was followed from the lab.
She felt like somebody was in her home. So she's like, I'm going to go to a hotel. She calls Mulder and tells him where she's going to be, like, leaves him a voicemail. But she, like, covertly goes to this hotel.
Yeah, but first, actually, she's gonna, we got things out of her. She does go to the lab.
Oh, sorry.
She goes, well, I think she stopped by the lab, and now she goes back to the lab, and this is where she runs into the Gregors.
Yeah, she meets them all, and also, I guess, what does she find out while she's there?
Well, basically, I think she just finds out, actually, what, you know, what Travel was actually giving out earlier, that indeed, like, the Gregors were a bunch of clones, and that all look the same, just wearing a bunch of different outfits. And
right, and she's going to keep them safe.
Yeah, at least at the moment.
Supposedly.
And that falls through.
Yeah, that's her plan.
Almost immediately. But essentially, this entire last, like, 10 minutes is just Mulder and Scully playing phone tag.
Yeah, for sure, on her giant phone.
Yeah, I'm intrigued, because Mulder, you know, Scully tells Mulder, I'm going to this hotel. Mulder calls the hotel before she checks in. Should she have used her real name when checking into the hotel?
Did she even say her name when she checked in?
Well, yeah, she wasn't going to, but Mulder asks, like, hey, is Agent Scully, is Dana Scully
staying
there?
Oh, yeah, so it's kind of like his thing, like, he shouldn't have
assumed
that.
Mr. Mixer, what,
he should have been like, is there a redhead here?
Yeah, exactly, but, they should probably come up with some pseudonyms to use. Mulder himself uses pseudonyms many times. Yeah, so basically, again, it's another misconnection. He calls the hotel right before
she gets there.
She checks in. And so we find out that, you know, hey, here comes Mulder walking into the hotel being like, Scully, it's okay. I'm here. Cut to phone call from Mulder.
Yeah.
It's not Mulder.
Yeah, she's not in the room with Mulder.
Yeah, Mulder is not in the room where it happens.
Not in the room where it happens. He's there on the phone.
All right.
Where so it happens.
We leave things at a cliffhanger there, and we're going to leave you all at a cliffhanger for a brief second as we hear a word from our sponsors. All right, we move from Colony into Endgame, technically the first episode that I watched briefly out of these two.
Yeah, I don't think you got spoiled, though. It was like just this bit about the Mulder thing.
Yeah, there were some twists and turns, and now I actually understood the previously on. And even then, the episode doesn't start picking up right from where it left off.
No, not at all, which I think is good.
Because now we're back in the Arctic, in the Beaufort Sea, or whatever it's called, where there's a sub underneath. It sees a mysterious object. And basically, there's a loud droning sound that knocks out the power on the sub, stranding it below the ice.
Yeah, but I think before that, they're told to fire on it, like the mysterious object.
Just what we assume is that, like, the UFO that crashed, that the, that the alien bounty hunter was pulled out of.
And that there was a sub nearby, and they were like, fire, fire, but it was like, they couldn't, and then they got cold.
And then they got cold.
Yes, exactly.
So we pick things up after that, right where we left off, where Scully catches on immediately. She pulls a gun on him, and then he like brutalizes her. He throws her into a wall. He throws her into a glass table.
It's not good to see. I didn't like it.
Apparently, according to some behind the scenes stuff, they had to add Scully's grunt as she gets thrown through the table because they feared that people would think Scully died
and thrown
through a glass table.
That makes sense to me.
Here we are, Angela. Scully has been kidnapped again.
Yeah, I know. And that's why it was so funny when we were picking this episode. I was like, it'll actually be interesting to do after we do all of the Dwayne Barry stuff, because it'll be like, again, she's kidnapped. I hate to say it won't be the last time.
I mean, I've seen a fair amount of that. There was even back with the tomb stuff, right? Like, yeah. He's trying to kidnap Scully.
And there's an episode that we didn't watch, and I believe the first season, that was like this guy who's like obsessed with her, like obsessed with like hair and nails, like he was like a total creepo and liked her red hair and like wanted to wash it, and he like kidnaps her.
Poor Scully.
Yeah.
For many reasons, poor Scully. So, you know, basically now we go back to Mulder and quote-unquote Samantha. Mulder is very skeptical now about this revelation, and then this is when Samantha provides this giant game-changing actual expo dump that basically there's been an alien race that's been trying to produce a colony since the 40s. They were unable to do so. These doctors have sort of struck out on their own to try to combine alien and human DNA to help populate
the
colony.
Because the colonization effort was deemed like not good by the actual alien race, the bounty hunters, because it'll like I guess, like, taint their bloodline.
Right. No, it's very much, like, odd eugenic stuff where, like, these aliens believe they are the master species. They think that they are going to inherit the Earth after the humans.
Yeah, and so this whole, like, colonization effort of them coming here was meant for them to come here, not to, like, build out hybrids. But the hybrids are happening.
Yeah, so basically Mulder is all a tizzy, to the point.
Well, because he goes to the hotel,
right? And he sees that she's gone. He pulls a gun at Skinner, who's at his door, thinking that he's the bounty hunter. It's very clear that now Mulder is really taking the "trust no one" Deep Throat's last words for meaning, just meaning that in a very different way. But he's going to get a call very quickly from Scully to basically say this guy is willing to trade me for Samantha.
Yeah, at a bridge.
Yep. And so they go to a bridge. You know, Mulder has talked to Skinner at this point where he's sitting with a sharpshooter.
Yeah, because that's, I think we'll get more into this, but this is like one of Skinner's, like, I think he talks about it in that previous episode where he says he was like a ranger and like he shot that kid, but like it's his thing. He's a good shot.
Yeah, but I think he's not taking the shot. He's sitting with a sniper.
Oh, really? I thought he was the sharpshooter.
No, it was him and the sharpshooter. Maybe he's giving advice.
Yeah, maybe.
He's the guy over his shoulder. But it's also because Samantha is trying to like get in Mulder's ear saying, no, there's one very specific place to kill him. I know where it is. And unfortunately, that's going to kind of get this version of the clone killed.
Yes.
Because on the bridge, the trade is made. And Samantha goes rogue.
Yeah, tries starts to, attacking yeah, the bounty
tries,
hunter.
Tries to stab him. And of course, this giant man is going to easily belay her effort.
Yeah, she's a tiny woman.
Yeah, and so as they sort of wrestle, they fall over. He gets shot and they both fall into the water. And I know I made fun of the flashback young Mulder, Samantha. But now in retrospect, hearing the way David Duchovny says it,
that's how he says it,
with very little affect, I think it actually might have been a good comparison.
Yeah, no, he does it. It's the child actor spot on.
Yeah, because as Mulder looks over the bridge, he's just like, Samantha.
You like Samantha?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Mulder just isn't a very loud, angry guy. No, I don't know. We've seen that in the past.
No, he is. But either way, she falls over. He's upset. But he has to go cry to his daddy.
Yeah, this is rough. So Mulder, I think, though he's gone back and forth in the beginning part of this episode as to whether or not Samantha is real, I think he now believes that she was. And so he basically has to go back to Bad Dad and say, I'm sorry, I lost her again.
Yeah, like, I lost her. And the dad is awful to him about this.
To the point where Mulder is, like, reduced to tears.
Yeah, he's crying. Like, a little boy's like, sorry, Dad. Like, I'm so sorry, I lost her again. And the dad's like, yeah, you done did it.
Yeah, I don't even want to give this to you, but Samantha insisted that I give this to you.
In case you get separated, here's a letter from your dead sister.
Here's a mysterious envelope and an access card to a health clinic. Not like you need it.
Yeah. But I guess it's a place where they're going to meet up, technically, but, you know, now he's just going to go check it out.
So he's going to check it out on his own. And meanwhile, this is going to sort of be like Mulder and Scully on different paths right now. Scully's really going to be on the science-y route where she finds out...
This happens a lot where Scully will, or Mulder will see, like physically see something happen and the other one won't. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, they both don't have the full picture, and it happens a lot, especially with Mulder seeing like aliens or seeing something happen, experiencing it, and then Scully being like, well, wasn't there, don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, because Scully sees here that they did find Samantha's body, confirming to Mulder she is dead, but wait, her face immediately corrodes green goo.
It like turns into a big ball of goop. It just like falls apart. And that's because we find out later that it's because it was cold in the river.
Yeah.
And as soon as they warmed her up, it disintegrated because her blood is the virus.
Yeah, the blood is like contains this retrovirus that is quite literally alien, but thrives in the cold.
Mm-hmm.
And so when taken out of the cold, when the body is dead, then that
they turn to goop.
Yeah, turns
they goop
straight up to
they
goop.
Gooped.
They gooped and gagged. So Mulder goes to this women's health clinic, and now it's revealed. Dun, dun, dun. Samantha was not Samantha.
No, she wasn't Samantha. She was another clone. And it's unclear. They don't confirm whether or not it is a clone of Samantha. But
yeah, I think Chris Carter has said that.
It's not.
That
and I think they say, oh, this is the original. She's the one we're all coming from. And they were like, and then that original says, like, we had to do this to get you to do what we wanted.
Yeah, but Chris Carter has said that he didn't want it to be the real Samantha because he said it would be, quote, straight science fiction. And he said it would be too ridiculous.
Yeah, too ridiculous. And also there's future episodes where there's still a lot to the Samantha mystery that needs to be uncovered.
Yeah, I thought it was odd for a second. They're like, oh, we're embracing this mystery in this second episode when this is like Fox Mulder's primary function.
Yeah, no, it was all a lie.
But as Mulder gets brought in saying, okay, you know, we're the clones and we need your help, Mulder says, I'm not your savior. He couldn't be more right because the alien bounty hunter is there.
Yeah.
Mulder gets knocked out and the place gets set on fire.
Yeah, and Mulder again has to do fun, like, low voice, my voice hurts from some sort of injury acting in a bit.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of injuries falling Fox Mulder over these two episodes.
Smoke inhalation injury.
Angela, X is back.
X is back. And sassy as ever.
Yeah, he is not happy that Mulder called upon him. But basically, Mulder's like, this bounty hunter's gone. I need to know where he went to. And X is like, basically his attitude is always like, God damn it, fine. Where he's like, I disapprove of why you're doing this, Mulder, but I'll give
you the
information.
He like kind of like splurts the information out of him. Like, he's in the blah, 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 blah.
He went to Alaska, but also BT Dubs, you'll only win the war if you pick the right battles, and I don't think you are right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're being dumb.
So Scully finds an email from Mulder where he basically...
Yeah, this is what we were talking about with the computer.
He leaves a note for her on his computer knowing that she'll break it and find it.
Yeah, it's like as if I were to go to the store and leave for you on the notes app on my computer open.
Yeah.
Hey, went to the store.
Yeah, well, he knew, I guess, that Scully would be Snoopy.
I guess, yeah.
But basically saying, I'm taking off to protect you. I'm not telling you where I'm going.
Yeah.
This is for personal reasons, not professional reasons.
I mean, I get why he does this. He does not want Scully to be abducted again. Or get into an issue.
And he can at least acknowledge that this is not to solve the mystery. This is just like a vendetta, I think, for him.
Yeah, but it is to solve the mystery.
But not like the larger mystery.
I guess
right?
so.
Like
yeah.
the alien bounty hunter, for all intents and purposes, is
they
out
think
of the picture.
They also think he's dead.
Yeah.
Like, which is dumb.
So Scully, meanwhile, takes the note to heart, but not really follows an instruction. She immediately goes to Skinner and is
So she summons X to Mulder's apartment.
Right, but that's after she goes to Skinner
and
says, oh, you know, he saved my life. You need to help
him. Skinner's like, I can't help you.
Like
this isn't the FBI.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Am I not the director of the FBI? I can't up and leave to go.
Assistant director.
Yeah, to go help, this random one agent who outright said, I am not doing this for FBI reasons.
Yeah, like it was like wild of her to assume that he would help.
But
he does help.
He does, because X comes by, Scully calls upon him, and he's like, oh, wrong number, bye.
Yeah, and he like won't tell her anything. He won't help her. But as on his way out, he's confronted by Skinner in the elevator.
Holy.
Who beats the shit out of him.
Holy moly. This was incredible. I thought for a while that Skinner was just, he was a wise old sage, but I thought that he was just the guy that sits alongside the sharpshooter on the hill.
You know,
that he was sort of like out of his trade. Dude can still do it. Dude can still headbutt.
Yeah, and he's also, this is like, for me, I didn't realize how important this was, because for me, I see Skinner as that because of his like whole arc.
No, I thought he was just a rando in a suit who yells at Mulder.
No. I mean, he does do that, but he also is a badass and he has convictions and he wants to help. And he also is very protective of Mulder and Scully, and especially Scully.
Yeah, this is a crazy ass fight. Like these two guys, it's like the movie They Live with like it's pretty knockout and drag out.
Well, I do think throwing each other against the wall. And X is like he's no small frail female like in Samantha. You know, yeah. I think that he is his own right, like very tough and could like probably beat up somebody no problem. And Skinner just like, I think he also catches him by surprise.
Yeah,
too.
I mean the elevator doors open and here Skinner comes just like shoving him up against the wall.
Yeah.
But after a
he gets
fight,
the info though.
Yeah, I mean after it's a fight between,
results.
A fight between two characters I never thought would get into a fist fight, and yeah. I'm all the better for seeing it. But like you said, Skinner does beat the information out of X.
Yes.
And so they're off to the Arctic, where we see that Mulder has somehow found the sub just like stuck in the ice. This very much to me, this next part felt like The Thing. Maybe it's the Arctic environment or the idea of the imposter. You know, and who can you trust with the shapeshifter? But it was really evocative of that to me.
Yeah. Plus, there's like this only surviving crewman. It's very suspicious.
Yeah. So basically, the crewman, he runs into, quote unquote, the last surviving crewman who says basically, oh, this bounty hunter's merciless. He sealed most of the crew in without air and then he executed the rest of them.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, just kidding. That was me.
Yeah. And Mulder's like, you know, turns on him. He's, what are you doing? What are you? Okay. I can't do this anymore. I am the bounty hunter.
Yeah. It's me. And then they have a struggle and Mulder gets exposed to the toxic blood.
Well, that's his fault because he does shoot him. I guess he tries to go for the area that Samantha
misses. He was in a struggle.
And then the blood, you know, leaks out and we see Mulder's face begin to puff up. But basically, this bounty hunter, I want to say leaves him for dead, throws him out of the sub, and then submerges the sub. I don't know if he intended to, like, decapitate Mulder.
But, maybe.
Because he just said, like, now you die. I don't know if it was more so we're going to leave you out exposed to the cold, or I'm going to cut your head off with the sticking out part of the sub.
I mean, who's to say? But before he does that, he gives him a little tidbit and says, Samantha's still alive.
Yeah.
Which is like,
Yeah, like, oh, like, insult to injury. I'm going to kill you by also giving you this essential piece of truth, though. That'll really, I think, work against his intentions, because Mulder, at the very last second, is able to see through his allergy-blurred eyes and is able to roll just out of the way, though he is now
getting chopped in half.
Yeah, though he's now still stranded in the cold. So really, it's out of the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah, well, but it's good that he's in the cold, actually.
Yeah, because that's going to allow him to, be alive enough to get rescued
by the field hospital where we started.
Yeah, exactly. And now we're back here and we do find that Scully is correct. He does need to be, he does need to stay in the cold.
Because the alien blood that he was exposed to contains a retrovirus that is only contained by the cold.
And it's interesting because...
Or dies in cold temperatures.
The opening scene from Colony was really Scully and this doctor butting heads. But the doctor kind of graciously steps aside and allows Scully to take charge.
I guess at that point, it's like, what are their, it's like, let him die or let this lady do something weird.
Yeah, like, all right, I guess we'll let her do something freaky. Because, yeah, he's flatlining right now. So I don't know what the other option is besides bringing in the EKG machine.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, Scully takes charge. So I know you spoke a lot about Dr. Scully, doing her
Scully.
Thing in a lot of episodes. Does she often take charge when it comes
yes.
to, like, the OR, too?
Yeah, for sure. Especially if it's Mulder. She's like, I'm going to be the one because I am confident that I can fix him. You know, where she doesn't trust anyone else to do the job. But, yeah, she definitely takes part. And, I mean, we saw in that one episode, she, like, rolls up her sleeves and helps out.
Right, but, I would say more so that the ER doctor was the one that was in charge. This is Scully saying, like, okay, I know I'm new here, but follow my orders.
Yes, she does that, especially if it's something like alien related that nobody knows about.
So she recaps that after, due to her efforts, Mulder is recovering slowly but surely. Scully, it's interesting. We sort of have like dueling perspectives here from Scully, where she says, everything I've experienced so far in the X-Files has challenged my faith in an ordered universe. But ironically enough, it has emboldened me more to find out the truth. You know, science saved Mulder's life. It's not like these two are completely separate instances they can mix
together.
And
this is what we've been leading to for, a while now, is her having that revelation.
Right, that it doesn't have to be one thing or the other. It can be both.
Exactly.
And so Mulder wakes up. Scully's a very sweet, friendly face to wake up to. I think it's a nice reverse from how we ended One Breath. And, much like Scully, Mulder had that little, like, weak one-liner of, I've got a bad case of freezer burn. But despite, I guess he's thawing a bit in that Mulder, ironically enough, despite, being presented with what was the image of this sister that lost him a while ago and was like the defining moment of his life so far, despite losing her, he is now more invigorated than ever. He says, I found something that I thought I'd lost, faith to keep looking.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, because I do think that up until this point, and we even stopped like much further along in season two, but from what we watched in One Breath through now, he's continued that aspect of like, I don't know what's keeping me going. Like, why am I doing this? What's going on? Like, now he's like reinvigorated.
Yeah, I find it interesting that, even
with the mission.
With the Dwayne Barry stuff, yeah, he had that sort of crisis of faith, but he found it. But I think this was really, again, this is like his 1A principle of Samantha got abducted. That makes me believe in aliens. I've got to find out the mystery.
And also find out what happened to her.
Yeah, now that he basically has a confirmation that, like, she is still alive and that there's a chance that he could still find her, I think that really makes him feel like, okay.
At least for now.
Oh, I was on the right track and I should continue to still be on the right track.
Yeah, and also, like, this virus is, like, it exists. Like, it's so clear. So I think that they're both just, like, in it to win it now.
Yeah, so it's an incredibly important two-part episode,
yes.
I feel like, for a number of reasons, where it seems like this colonization thing is here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
The alien bounty hunter is here to stay, and Mulder kind of gets his groove back.
He gets his groove back. He's Stella.
Should also mention, universal decision from the two of us, I think Spook of the Week has to be that alien bounty hunter, because dude is quite literally spooky in his Terminator getup. So, next week, we are going to watch two episodes again, but they are not going to be linked to the backbone of the show. I think we have two one-offs, do we not?
We have two one-offs. We have two sort of Monster of the Week episodes that I felt like we, first of all, you would like.
Okay.
And second of all, we're not like completely devastating.
Mm-hmm.
And, probably one of them is a little more fun. But I think, I think that's why we're going to watch those.
So the next two episodes we're going to be watching, and this is next podcast, we're going to be actually finishing off season two, I believe. We are going to be watching season 2, episode 19, Dodcom? Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know how you pronounce it, but yes.
Yeah, there's a line through the O, and so unfortunately, I apologize to all of our Slavic
and I guess
Germanic
that it links
listeners
a little bit to what we just watched, because it does take place in the Arctic.
Yeah, and it looks like we're going back on a boat.
We're going back on a boat, and it's more of a mystery.
So get your sea legs or your ice legs. And the other episode we're going to be watching is season 2, episode 23, Soft Light.
Yeah, so this stars Monk.
Tony Shalhoub? Tony Shalhoub shows up in X-Files?
Yeah, I think this is the one with Tony Shalhoub.
Oh, that's very exciting.
Yeah, so Soft Light is a great
one. I'm also seeing here that this was written by Vince Gilligan.
Yeah.
I know that he cut his teeth on The X-Files, obviously, before Breaking Bad. So maybe this is his premiere episode. I'm not sure, but that's fun.
I think this is a fan favorite, too. I think people really like this one because it has a component of Monster of the Week, but it's like kind of like science fiction-y, too.
Okay, fun. So we're going to get into everything Soft and Light with Soft Light, as well as Dodd-Colm. Next week, as we finish off season two of The Bloom Files, I have been loving season
I know, and there's,
two.
I hate to say it, because there's so many episodes in season two that I would have loved for us to watch, and I think that, you know, the listeners out there might be a little upset about it, but I think that, you know, I'm picking because we only have so many we can cover, and it's so hard, so I'm sorry if we didn't get to your faves, but...
I've been loving what we've been watching so far, so I can't complain.
And maybe one day I'll get you to watch the rest.
Yeah, one day. But for now, if you have any thoughts about Dodd-Colm or almost sounds like .com or
it does sound like that.
Light, feel free to write into us bloomfiles@postshowrecaps.com or xfiles@postshowrecaps.com. And I do promise we are covering those two episodes again. Apologies about the mix up going into this week. If you have any thoughts about the whole Colony Endgame duology as well, you can write in there too. You can also write into us on social media, on Twitter specifically. I am at @AMikeBloomType. Angela is at @AngePelagi, and we are, of course, at Post Show Recaps. Subscribe to our X-Files only feed if you have not yet. That is available on the podcatcher of your choice. And, you know, unlike the Alien Bounty Hunter, lets our profile raise more and more. We do not want to sink into the icy waters of obscurity on the podcast.
Yeah.
So we always appreciate any ratings and reviews you may have. And of course, keep the conversation going on the Post Show Recap Discord as well. If you're a patron, lots of incentives. If you're a Post Show Recap patron, including you get to check on myself and Liana Boris taking over Post Show Recap's theater for 1 week as we got to watch Paul Blart Mall Cop, with which Angela watched with me for a good, like, 15 minutes?
No, I was doing work while you started it, and I was like, honestly, I need to put my headphones in and watch something else, because this is upsetting.
Yeah, I need to find something that, like, contributes at least a little bit more intellectually than Paul Blart Mall Cop. That being said...
Yeah, rough stuff.
We had a great time. You can be like Angela and not have to watch Paul Blart. We go through it all detail by excruciating detail, but we had a great time. So check that all out in addition to all the other great patron stuff on Post Show Recaps proper. Also, special thanks, as always, to the great Corey B for his fantastic theme song, which you should be hearing very shortly. That's going to do it for The Bloom Files. Again, next week, Season 2, Episode 19, Dodd-Colm, and Season 2, Episode 23, Soft Light. Cannot wait. We'll talk to you all next week, but for now, case closed.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.